This is Dr. Tom Pritchard, and you're listening to the Apex Wrestling Show.
Coincidence is a funny thing. Here I am sick as a dog, and we just happen to have a doctor in the house today. Well, I may be sick, but pushing through it will make us all feel better. We're doctor prescribed, after all, since as we all know, Apex Radio
helps build strong bodies 8 ways.
Yeah, okay. That's enough goofing around before I choke to death. On with the show. My guest today on the show, as you may or may not have guessed, is the one and only Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom began his career in Los Angeles around 79, working for Gene and Mike LaBelle's Olympic Auditorium Wrestling promotion, where he held several championships in that promotion. In 1988, he had a groundbreaking and controversial feud with the Dirty White Boy in Continental Wrestling Federation. As I mentioned in the interview, there's a clip from this feud on YouTube, and I'll put that link on the Apex Facebook page so you guys can get an idea of what we were talking about in the interview. He and Stan Lane, known together as the Heavenly Bodies, became the very first Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. He's also wrestled in the WWE, of course, under the Heavenly Bodies moniker with Jimmy Del Rey, and as a new addition to the Bonnie Donnas known as Zip. He's authored a book called A Pro Wrestling Curriculum, Advice, Suggestions, and Stories to Help the Aspiring Pro Get to the Next Level. And until just last year, he was a trainer for the WWE's developmental system, but has since gone on to conduct training seminars and wrestle for various independent promotions all across North America. On Saturday, September the 7th, I was privileged enough to be able to attend one such seminar that was held at Body Slammers Gym here in Ottawa. It was quite an education, after which I got to watch him wrestle a great and really entertaining match. I was pleased to be able to sit with Dr. Tom for a face-to-face interview after the seminar before the match, and get his thoughts on certain aspects of pro wrestling in general and on his upcoming match against Damian Styles that evening. So, without further ado, and before I do in fact choke to death, I give you Dr. Tom Pritchard.
I'm here at the Big Time Pro Wrestling Seminar with the one, the only, the guest star, the main speaker of the seminar, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Thank you for joining us, Dr. Tom.
It's a pleasure to be here in Ottawa.
Excellent, excellent. I want to thank you for taking time out to talk with us. I'm just going to get right into it. Something I wanted to know for a while, wrestling, of course. You talked a bit about this during your seminar, but back in the day, for lack of a better term, wrestling and the crowds were a lot different than they are nowadays. You said, you know, people in general are a little smarter towards the wrestling business nowadays. Back in 88, CWF, you and a Dirty White Boy, you got into quite a feud. It was some nasty business. It was a lot of people who used this term revolutionary for the time, but the heat that was generated by that particular feud, and those of you who don't know what I'm talking about can look it up on YouTube. It's all there. The heat that was generated by this kind of feud, I mean, I know Dirty White Boy was the guy getting most of the heat, but you were in that circle. What was it like being involved in something like that, and would you see that sort of thing in wrestling nowadays, do you think?
Well, I don't think you would see it nowadays because the times have changed. Back then it was more still of an outlaw business or sport, and people wanted to believe a little more. And I think being in the South, Birmingham, Alabama especially, people could relate a little more to the violent nature, and they really enjoyed that part of professional wrestling. These days, I think with so much entertainment at everybody's hands, people want to see happy, and maybe if the heat comes about, it's got to be something that is a little more palatable and not as violent for today's society, as ironic as that may be. So I don't think we could see anything like someone hanging another person on a wrestling show like we did back in 1988. But at that time, I think for Southern wrestling, it was pretty much par for the course, because in the South, things were a little grittier, a little dirtier, a little nastier, and that was what the angle was all about. It was pretty much a storyline that the white boy and I came up with, and it was a really great time to be in the wrestling business. I miss those days, but at the same time, change is inevitable and is bound to happen. So I was glad to be a part of it, but no, today I don't think we could get away with something like that.
And you also mentioned, too, that being that things were a little more outlaw back then, and the way wrestlers were perceived and the way things were done, do you think that outlaw lifestyle outside of the ring has changed the style of wrestling inside the ring?
I do, because I believe that back then we were traveling by cars. We were living in the same place as in at least close proximity to each other. So, yeah, it was pretty much wide open, the wild, wild west. I mean, there was a lot more smoking, drinking, drugging, whatever you want to call it. And these days, I think a lot of people have smartened up and wisened up to the fact that they're not the most healthiest things you could do. And there's more athletes, a lot more professionals in the business that have gone through college and understand that this is a business first and foremost. You're traveling mostly by plane, you're going overseas, you're doing a lot more than we did back then. Whereas, we had one territory, and you could travel with your buddies in the cars, and the way you pretty much passed the time was the way we passed the time. So, the outlaw lifestyle was prevalent back then a lot more than it is today.
Understandable. All right. Now, of course, you've wrestled in the WWE, you've wrestled in a lot of different indie federations. How would you say you'd have to work a match differently or play to an audience differently, or would you, in the WWE as opposed to, say, one of the more local feds or a smaller fed?
Well, WWE, especially on television, you're working towards your hard cameras or your floor cams and things like this, whereas in another organization like a house show or independent show, you can go ahead and use the microphone and talk to the crowd more. In WWE, it's more of a television show where you have to gear everything towards a camera and not so much over the top as it used to be. So I think those are the major differences. We're doing a TV show in WWE, whereas the independents or different organizations, you're doing a wrestling show. So television versus wrestling, while it may not be different to some, it's different to others.
Right, absolutely. Now, independent wrestling, you were mentioning before, was a lot different in the South back in the 80s than it is nowadays. What would you say is the state of independent wrestling nowadays? I mean, so many people say independent wrestling is dead. So many people say it's going strong. In a lot of ways, it's not a feeder system for companies like the WWE anymore. What would you say is the current state of independent wrestling?
Well, the only independent wrestling I know is around Knoxville and the East Tennessee area, and I know that's not going very well at all. In some places, I believe up around Johnson City and Kingsport, some organizations are going strong, but when I say strong, they're drawing maybe 200, 300 people. But you have the NWA, which is trying to make a resurgence. I just don't see that happening. Right. And I don't see the independents making a lot of money. I don't see the independents doing really tremendously well in the States. I don't know necessarily how it's doing in Canada, but in the States, I'm not seeing an overabundance of profitability, if you will. So it's one of those things that I wish there were more places for the guys to get work, but it's getting harder and harder, and the guys that are coming up now and even going to Ring of Honor and I don't even know any of the other organizations out there. I don't know how well they're going to do money-wise. I don't know how well they're going to do ability-wise, because you have more and more self-trained guys out there that don't really know what they're doing. So I don't know that the future's that great for independent wrestling.
Fair enough, fair enough. Now, you just conducted a really awesome seminar out there, very educational. I won't make you give away too much of the kind of things you tell people in these seminars, but for anyone listening who might be interested, who might want to come down to Body Slammers and try and, you know, try their hand at becoming a wrestler, what would you say is the most important quality, first and foremost, about becoming a wrestler, independent or otherwise?
I think the attitude and passion you have to have to be a wrestler is the most important thing. You have to come into it, and if you're going to put your energy into it, you have to put all your energy into it if you want to be good. If you want to be great, you have to sacrifice everything for professional wrestling or this business. There's no guarantees, but I've seen people who've been told they couldn't be very successful. Daniel Bryan, CM Punk, people like that who were told there's no way in hell they're ever going to make it, and they have. So I think it's all up to the individual with the attitude and the sacrifice and the dedication you have to become a professional wrestler. Come down to Body Slammers, find out if that's what you want to do. But it's not easy. It's hard work, and this ain't for everybody.
Would you recommend it?
Ah, man, I got to tell you. I tell you, for me, it's a life that I couldn't see any other way of living. I mean, for me. But I also knew that there was nothing else I wanted to do. Would I recommend it to somebody? Not in good conscience. I mean, I really couldn't, because I know the hardships that go along with it. It's just like if I had a son or daughter who wanted to go into professional wrestling, I'd have to tell them, I don't know, man. I don't think I could, in good conscience, lead you there, because it's not easy, and it's a lot of hardships, and it's a lot of heartache, and I don't know if I'd want to put them through that.
Fair enough, fair enough. Now, tonight you're going to be facing Damian Styles, who, for the people who are listening to this show, they know he's a veteran of the ring, and he's a pretty tough guy. I don't want you to give away too much before your match tonight, but what strategy do you think you might be using against a guy like Damian Styles?
Well, my strategy has always been the same. I like to go out and I like to see what my opponent has first. I don't like to give anything away. I like to feel the guy out. I like to see what he's going to do before I do anything else. I'm better at reacting than I am going in there with a plan and just saying, this is what I'm going to do, because I don't know what he's going to do. So once I find that out, that's how I play my cards. Make the first move and I'll react off that, and then we'll go from there. I can't have a strategy unless I know what's coming at me first.
Very good, very good. Well, that's great. I'm going to ask you the one question now. Finally, we'll wrap this up, let you get back to whatever it is you have to do. The one question I ask all my guests on the show, it's been a tradition for years. I know you've written a great book about, you know, becoming a wrestler and all that. If you were going to write your memoirs, though, if everything was done and you were going to hang up the boots tomorrow, that was it, never go anywhere near a wrestling ring, and you were going to write your memoirs, what would you call them?
Where did my wrestling go? I've already started.
And perfect.
Yeah, I started, but I got about 26 pages in, and I stopped because I found out it wasn't as easy as it sounded. But where did my wrestling go would be the title of my memoirs, because the wrestling that I grew up loving and wanting to do is no longer so. Yeah, it's just kind of a sad state of affairs.
Oh, awesome. Well, we're going to have to keep an eye out for that when it does come out eventually, when you get the rest of the pages finished. Dr. Tom, thank you very much for your time. I'm going to wish you good luck in your match tonight.
Anytime. Thank you very much.
Just a great and a really enjoyable time with a man who knows what he's talking about. What more can I say? Dr. Tom Pritchard, thanks again. I mentioned before the interview that Dr. Tom has a book out, and what I forgot to mention is I'll also put the link to Dr. Tom's website up on my Facebook page, so that if you want to snag yourself a copy of this really, really interesting and informative book, you'll be able to find out where. Okay, now on to some new business. I want to tell you guys now about a very special and important event that's happening this Saturday, September 27th. Mecha Pro Wrestling and Canadian Grand Prix Wrestling are holding a show called Headlocks for Hospice. It's a full-blown wrestling event. What's so special about this particular wrestling event, other than the fact that it's got a great roster that's going to be performing for you guys, wrestling for you guys? All the proceeds from the ticket sales and merchandise on this show are going to be donated to the Care for Hospice in Cornwall. That's a great hospice that provides wonderful palliative care to terminally ill patients, and it's well worth your time and energy to go out there, give them your money, give them your support, and enjoy a great show. That's Headlocks for Hospice, Saturday, September 23rd. 2013, of course, at the Envy Night Spot. That's 18 3rd Street East in Cornwall. The doors open at 6:30. Bell time is at 7 o'clock. Your tickets are only $12, guys. It's for a great cause. You get them at the door. And I want to stress, all proceeds from the ticket sales and merch, that's 100% of the proceeds, go to the hospice. There's no money shaved off to recoup their costs. There's everyone from the headliners, the main eventers, all the way down to the ring crew. Everybody is completely 100% volunteering their time for this show. Nobody's getting paid except the hospice, which is the way it should be. There's some great matches lined up. I'll let you guys check them out. Their Facebook page for all the information and updates is facebook.com/mechapro, or you can catch them on Twitter, twitter.com/@MPWNation. That's MPWNATION. Because I'm all plugged up and sound like a sick walrus, I'm going to post those links on my Facebook page as well for you guys. Well, it's been an awesome show. Like I said, I got to interview one of the greats. It's getting harder and harder for me to talk, so I'm going to close it up here. All I can say is I'm going to go lie down and slip into a nice, comfortable coma. I don't mean to be rude, but
screw you guys. I'm going home.